sedebit rex in aeternum. He shall sit as king forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The memory which I bring back from my little missionary trip this month to Poland and France, my own memory that I bring back is one of the majesty of our Lord and of His Blessed Mother, Our Lady and Queen. In going over, of course, as is my custom, I wanted to confirm our brethren in the faith, to give confirmation, and especially as we've been doing here, to warn our fellow Catholics in Europe against the great false church, apocalyptic in nature, which they are now organizing. A church in which there is room for everyone except our Lord and everything except the truth. A church in which Ratzinger and his fellow henchmen have followed the philosophy of Pilate, who sarcastically asked, "What is truth?" rather than our Lord, who says, "I am a king." Remember that the nature of this false church is that everybody can do everything. You can believe whatever you want to, and you can have your Latin finally and your Gregorian chant if you're lucky and you insist on that, but you may also have Buddha and guitars and pretty much anything else you want. Everything but Christ. I warn them to beware. And then secondly, as we do here often, I think too, I ask them for the sweet love of Jesus, of His Sacred Heart and His Mother, to try to get along. There are always divisions, hard feelings, human faults and errors always happen. And yet, in the face of the great Antichrist threatening us today, isn't it important that we maintain as much unity amongst ourselves and our fellow Catholics as possibly we can? And it's always an impressive thing to see Catholics in other countries and all of the good work that's done by the clergy in particular and by the laity working together for God's glory. But what struck me the most was a little pilgrimage that I was privileged to make when I went to Poland to visit poor Father Tritek. He only has 30 people in the whole country. That's his congregation. He barely survives. I mean, in the matter of rent and food and things like that, but Father showed me some of the very beautiful churches of his city, the Krakow in Poland, and then we went on a pilgrimage to Częstochowa to visit the Black Madonna, as she is called. And that was for me an unforgettable experience. You see, the miraculous image of Our Lady, an icon, covered over mostly in silver, you see the two faces only, is itself covered over with a silver screen most of the time. I didn't realize this. So we got there about noon on a weekday, and you couldn't see Our Lady. So we asked around, well, when would they be opening the icon so we could pay our respects to our Queen? And we got different times from different people, you always do. And then eventually somebody said, well, it will be at 1 o'clock. And so we got there before 1. We stood in front of the kind of a rude screen or the grill that separates the chapel where the Blessed Mother is from the rest of the church. And we waited about 40 minutes, I think, till finally the icon was exposed to view. It was good, though, to stand and wait for Our Lady. It gave me a chance to remember to pray for many of you and for your intentions, as I had promised, before Our Lady. As we were waiting, I was sort of aware that there was a crowd forming. And by the time it was about 1:35 finally, that something was going to happen, the church was absolutely full of people. And then the most marvelous thing happened. As they started to lift up the silver screen so you could see the Mother of God, the Matka Boja, the Mother of God in her majesty, the monks, they have Pauline monks there, special order just in Poland. The monks started to play musical instruments. That's their tradition. One of them plays a trumpet, because it's very Polish, a trumpet. And the other does a majestic drum roll. And they're up in one of the side balconies of the chapel. You don't see them. But the melody is most effective. And then as that plays with very solemnly, everybody falls on their knees before the Blessed Mother. It's unforgettable. And then you look up and slowly you see the icon. And finally, you see the face of our Blessed Lady. What struck me about the face of Our Lady in the Black Madonna is this. So majestic and so severe. You might say every inch a queen. But today people would say, well, you know, we don't have kings anymore, or queens, or popes, for that matter. That's all over now. And in a sense, that's quite true. We are towards the end of time, probably. But is it not true that we still have Jesus Christ, our King, King and center of all hearts, Jesus Christ, whom so many of you have acknowledged and enthroned in your homes as King? And don't each one of us bend the knee in adoration before the tabernacle, because he lives there. And don't we do everything we can for this church, because it is his house, his audience chamber, his palace. And don't we still belong to the Catholic Church, which is his mystical body? And isn't our Lord still waiting to claim back all of our fallen and erring brethren, to restore the church, and waiting too for his rightful place as King over all of society? And do we not have Mary as our queen, not only over the Polish people, this or that nation which has proclaimed her as queen, but is she not the queen of the universe? And do we not have the popes with us still, each one of them since St. Peter, with their magisterium or their teaching authority, which does not contradict itself, their doctrine, which can never be changed? And isn't that still today being taught and proclaimed, not only from pulpits, but in websites even? And isn't the magisterium or the teaching authority of the church alive and with us still to guide us, to bind our feet in the path of peace, and to keep our hearts in the truth? And isn't our Lord as much with us in the tabernacle of the church as he is in the teaching of the church, which can neither err nor deceive nor be deceived like God himself? And isn't our Lord represented by his authority in every mother here and in every father? And isn't our Lord represented by his authority in every teacher, in every classroom tomorrow? And isn't our Lord here by his authority in every true Catholic priest, validly ordained, and in the successors of the apostles, the bishops? Father Mateo asks in one of our prayers he makes our Lord to say, if I am a king, where is my respect? I think that is a good question to ask today. But the idea behind it, and I will admit it, is one which is uncongenial to modern man and to his ways. Oh, we Catholics who are left, we manage better than most its realization. That is to say, a genuflection, to remember when to do a double and when to do a single, and to kneel devoutly most of the time. Although I have to mention that as I go back and forth from the confessional now, on Sundays during the low mass is saying, I often notice people probably could be kneeling who are slouching. And sometimes when we get ready for Holy Communion, there's a great sort of a crash and a bang. I spoke to the children about that the other day. Because people are carelessly putting the kneelers up with their feet, and they're allowing them to crash. All of this is hardly worthy of the audience chamber of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Sometimes we make ourselves maybe a little bit too much at home, do you think? We have to work on those things. And there are other things to work on, too. Do you teach your children the golden words, parents, you who have from God this golden gift of his authority? Well, what are they, Your Excellency? Yes, sir. No, ma'am. Your Excellency, Father. Yes, Father. No, Father. And to say those words, do you teach them thus? Out of genuine love and respect. If you do not, then I'm afraid that you are part of the problem. And we Americans must own up it is a problem which is distinctly ours. And as they do sometimes with garbage because they don't know what else to do with it, I'm afraid we export it. It is true, not only from a military point of view, with our wars, but from a cultural point of view, if you could call it culture, it is true that we export the garbage of American life all around the world. So more and more it is true that this is the American way. If a child is not prevented by a pill or by a procedure, murder, why then that child is, who survives physically, spiritually murdered by the parents who gave him natural life. He's perverted. He's perverted. It is a true perversion, many of the ideas with which we live today. Not only the unspeakable perversions, which ought never to be mentioned in public, but he's perverted. All of this business about dating and playing house and divorce and remarriage, what is all of this if not perversion? And he set on the path of that kind of a perversion by putting self first. He is pampered. Pampered sometimes so much so that he never has an idea of what life might possibly demand of him. But he knows what he will demand of life. And the great doctrine which is given to our children and through them to all the world, through television and music and fashions, the great doctrine is that of democracy. And this democratic doctrine is exported too by means of our wars to establish democracy. Never mind the hundreds of thousands we've been killing lately to export democracy, but all of the souls that have been killed as well. That is to say, the gospel of equality and liberty. And you're no better than me. And who are you to tell me what to do? Nobody tells me what to do, or my children. And in so doing, we think that we prepare for ourselves a prelapsarian paradise, a garden of every delight here on earth. And yet, how far is that from the truth? The sad truth is this, and you know it from your lives and experiences, unless we submit to him, our queen, a king, because of her, our queen, unless we obey, and readily so, his sweet and gentle reign, alas, then ours is tyranny. And if not today, tomorrow, you may prepare for the waterboarding and having your home bombed and your families broken up and wondering how you will ever be able to escape from your native land as we have done to so many of late. If we reject his sweet rule, It is only the tyranny of democracy and all of its horror that awaits us. Is there a solution to this? Indeed, there is. It is the Spirit of our Savior himself, whom he sends to us on the very day and with seven gifts that we took our soldier's oath, our confirmation. Two of these gifts we tend to leave wrapped up on the shelf. We need them very much. Would you please go home today and see if you could find them and unwrap them and read the instruction manual and start to use them? Show your children to how it works. The first of these is fear of the Lord. Two parts. That is to say, it starts with common sense. I am afraid of committing mortal sin because I know it will take me to hell for all eternity. Well, that's just common sense, isn't it? But the common sense is the rarest of things today. After that, second degree higher up, I'm not only a servant who will be punished, I am a son. And because of my Father, whom I love so much, I fear to give him the offense, to show my ingratitude, to offend him. I don't want to do that. That's fear of the Lord. Next comes piety, which injects sweet gratitude and love along with these other salutary considerations. Everything I have, all that I am, I owe to others and in first to our Lord. Because of piety, I will show him my profoundest respect in everything I do. There is a solution to these problems. Father Tritak, the little priest in Poland I was visiting, is a very quiet man. He doesn't say too much, and it was difficult sort of sustaining a conversation with him. But we did have one very interesting little talk over dinner after we visited the Black Madonna. And I said to him my impressions of how I would never forget that. And then also how when I looked upon Mary's face, she seemed to me, I said to him, so severe. And he said to me, oh, we don't say that. We say that she is sad. Sad as only a mother could be sad. And I think he's right. To look again at her face, it's the face of a noble lady who is making every effort to hold herself with dignity and not give way to tears. That, too, sadly, is gone today. I mean, that whole idea of self-control and of mastery and all the rest. Everything is what you feel and all the rest of it. How on earth can we go back to the kingdom, to the church, to Christian culture, the proper way? Well, you've got to get on your knees to get started. Remember the story I used to tell it in sermons sometimes? The story of that, it's a painting. Curiously enough, it's the one painting that Protestants used to have in their churches or homes. It's a painting of our Lord in the agony in the garden. He's kneeling against a rock. Most of you may have seen it. It's by the artist Thorwaldsen. When he did this painting, he was proud of it. And he asked his teacher to come in to look at it and to give him, this former student, the teacher's opinion. The teacher looked at it from one angle and from another, and he said, well, my friend, it's a very well done painting, but you know, I sense there's something not quite right as I look at it. And Thorwaldsen, the artist, smiled at his teacher, and he said, well, you're quite right. You see, sir, this painting is meant to be seen from one's knees. If you'll kneel down, you'll get the right perspective on it, and it will all come into place. This painting, your soul, your home life, the way you relate in society, your life as Catholics, your behavior in church and outside of church, this painting is meant to be seen on your knees. And if you will kneel down and pretty much in heart stay there for the rest of your life, you'll get it right. The perspective will be correct. As we sing in one of the French carols at midnight mass, Minuit chrétien, c'est l'heure solennelle. Christians, fall on your knees. It is the solemn hour when the God-man has come down, even to us. And as we look up, what do we see but a gentle mother and queen who, even as she holds in her arms her son, is trying to hold back her tears because of everything else that she sees. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.